All right, I want to welcome you to week four of a series we're in here at Hope called Made for This. We're finding out who we are, who God made us to be, by studying God's original design for humanity in the early chapters of Genesis. So far, we've seen that God created us in His image. We're made with intrinsic value. God created us male and female. It's part of God's good design. And God created us for relationships. It's not good for us to be alone. We need community, we need people in our life, and this is going to be important because when God saw how that He created humanity, He actually declares it very good. In other words, you and I are made to thrive in God's design. This is His good plan, this good design for our lives. And I want to talk to you today about created for the blessings of life. One of the most popular hashtags on social media is hashtag blessed. You guys seen that? If you're on social media, you probably have. Maybe you've used it before. I did something a little bit unusual for me this week. I got on Instagram. Please don't try to find me. I'm not really there, but I did a search on hashtag blessed. You will not believe how many results came back. 150 million. Yeah, that's crazy, right? 150 million people all around the world right now are feeling hashtag blessed. That's a lot of people who are feeling blessed right now. And that doesn't even include all the people. Millions of more people who are like, hashtag blessed with the best, hashtag blessed beyond measure, hashtag blessed prayer hands was not included in the 150 million, so there's at least, 10 million more to add in the prayer hands. I like that. We're blessed in so many ways. Anybody here today feeling blessed? Huh? Come on, praise God. He is good. He is amazing. We are blessed in so many ways. What I want us to begin to understand today is that God has actually created us for the blessings of life. He made us to bless us. Isn't that interesting? God's blessings include God's benefits towards us. God's blessings are the good things that God does for us. It's His presence in our life. And what I want us to see today is that not only did God create us to bless us, but God actually created us to respond to His blessings. It's something we call a life of worship. So that's where we're going today. If you have your Bible, our text today is in Genesis chapter 1, continuing there. In a paper Bible, that's pretty much page 1 of your Bible. Pick it up in verse 26. We're on the sixth day of creation where God creates man and woman, and you'll hear how He blesses them. This is the word of the Lord in verse 26, chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them. You can underline that there. That's our big idea. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all of His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Let's pray. God, thanks for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak purpose and identity and direction into our lives. We're so grateful for all the blessings we've received, and I just pray this morning that as we look at this chapter, that we'll be reminded of your goodness, we'll be reminded of the joys in this world that we get to experience, and you will help us to remember to return thanks and praise for all of those things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, the big idea today is that we are blessed. You don't need the Bible to tell you that. You know, we see it all around us. We hear it on social media. 150 million people are declaring hashtag blessed right now. God has blessed us. It's on the first page of the story. It's on the first page of the book, Genesis 1, 27 to 28. God created humankind in his own image, and God blessed them. So check it out. The Bible tells us that God created humans. And the moment they come alive, what's the very first thing they experience? God's blessing. Isn't that interesting? God's original intention for us as humans was not to stress us, it was to bless us. It says God blessed them. And they discovered God's blessings. It's the very first thing that God does for humans. He blesses them. It's the goodness of our God. Now you see the dot, dot, dot in there. And so we might ask, what is the content of God's blessing? What has God blessed us with? And for starters, it's just every good thing that God has given to humanity. These are his blessings. We recently had a study in the book of James. James said, every good and perfect gift is from above. You guys remember that? Every blessing, every good thing in our life, it comes from God. And so we can trace all of the blessings in our life up to God. Blessings point us to God and lead us to God. Right? I would just say, don't thank the universe. You ever hear that? Sometimes people are like, thanking the universe for things, or the universe got us, brought us together. It didn't. That was God. God is the source of every blessing in our life. And guys, we're made for this. That's the theme of this series. We're made to enjoy those blessings in life. So like what? I'm going to give you three specific examples from the book of Genesis. So the blessings include all the good things, but Genesis zeroes in on three specific ones that I want to share with you this morning. We are created for, number one, the blessing of family. The blessing of family. Hey, you're blessed with family today. God did something special when he gave us families. Families are where we belong, where we're connected, where we have people who love us and support us and who always be there for us. Family shapes our identity, and it's a place where we grow into who we are today. Here's a picture of my family. That's me, my wife Angie, my daughter Lydia, my son Hudson. I love these people more than anything. My family means the world to me. I would do anything for them. And think about your own family right now. Who are the people in your life? You are just so blessed that God brought them into your life and into your story. This is the blessing of family. And God's created us for that. But one of the really amazing things about life is not only are we blessed to be in a family, but we're actually blessed with the opportunity to create a family of our own. This is incredible. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. At Genesis chapter 2, we'll go on to tell us about God's plan of a man and a woman leaving father and mother, getting married, having children. Some new numbers just came out for birth rates in the United States. Do you know that birth rates right now are the lowest they've ever been in the history of our nation? The message of the Bible is that children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, the reason that birth rate is so low is some of those reasons are chosen and some are unchosen. And we recognize that this morning. But children are a blessing for our lives. They're a blessing for our world. So if at all possible, have children. Children are a blessing. I remember being young and getting married and just thinking, oh, I'll wait to have children until I'm ready. P.S. It turns out I was never going to be ready. I was absolutely terrified of having children. And then one day I became a dad, and I was so clueless. I had no idea what I was doing. I remember when we got dismissed from the hospital with my daughter, Lydia. I could not figure out how to buckle her in the car seat. I was trying. I could not figure out how the thing worked. And there was a nurse in the room, and I was like, asking the nurse, could you help me figure this out? She's like, well, I'm a nurse. You know, I can't really help you. You know, liability. So she just watched me fumble around for like 3 or 4 minutes. And finally, she had had enough. She's like, all right, as a nurse, I can't help you. But as a mom, here's how you do it. And praise God, like, we figured it out. And isn't that true in life? As parents, we sort of figure it out, and sometimes it's hard, but it is amazing. And being a dad is one of the most fulfilling things I've ever experienced in my life. It's just a huge, huge blessing. See, our culture says children are a burden, but God says children are a blessing. So parents here today, do you see your children as a burden? Oh, so frustrating. Or do you see your children as a blessing? Or maybe we have grandparents here today enjoying the blessing of grandchildren. That's a beautiful thing, right? Have fun with them, send them home to the parents. Or maybe you're single and you just have nephews or nieces, or maybe you're a young person. And I want you to get this vision that we are created for the blessings of life. And one of those incredible blessings is to be in a family. One of those blessings is to create families of our own. It's one of God's good gifts for our lives. We're created for the blessings of family. Number two, created for the blessing of work and rest. Now, work's a big part of our lives, isn't it? Anybody ever had a strange job? Strange jobs out there. Yep, I had a strange job. After God called me to be a pastor, I took a job selling cigarettes and lottery tickets behind a customer service counter. Not exactly the Lord's work, but I'm so grateful to be here today teaching the Bible, and I love you guys. I love being your pastor. What's your work? Maybe you have a job. Maybe you go to work every day on a job site, or you work from home. Maybe you have yard work or housework, schoolwork. Hello, students. Schoolwork. Yeah, it is work. It's schoolwork. Or maybe you're retired. You're working on some hobbies. Work is a part of our life. And what I want us to see is that God actually made us for work. Work shows up in the creation story before sin, before the fall, before the curse. Check this out. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said, fill the earth and subdue it. Fill the earth and subdue it. So God gave man and woman a very important job to do from day one. They were to subdue the earth. They were to bring forth out of creation wonderful things for humanity. Art, culture, science, medicine, all of these things. They were also responsible for creation care, stewarding this incredible planet that we call home. And so here we see work showing up even before the curse. We also see that in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 2. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? What does it say? To work. Lord God put man in the Garden of Eden to what? To work and to take care of it. There it is again. God created us to work. To work in creation and to care for creation. In other words, God's original intention for humanity wasn't just to laze around in the garden all day, right? There's a bit of that. But God gave them work. He blesses them with work. God is a part of God's good and perfect design for humanity. We're made to work. Furthermore, our God is a working God. Genesis chapter 1 describes God's creation of the world as a 6-day work week. Isn't that interesting? So here God is working. He's working for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, what does God do? He rests. That's kind of interesting. God rested. Genesis 2:2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, did God rest on the seventh day because he was so tired? The end, it was so hard. He had to speak and things came into it. Oh, that's not it at all, is it? God rested because he's setting an example for us. For 6 days a week, we are designed to work and to work hard. And for one day a week, we are created by God to rest and to rest intentionally. God created us to work, and God created us for rest. He blesses us with rest. And very interestingly, God makes a day of rest one of the Ten Commandments. Isn't that interesting? One of the big ten. It's the fourth commandment. We find it in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, which says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy." So here God commands his people to pattern their work after his creation work week. We're to work 6 days and then to rest on the seventh day. Now, do I believe this Old Testament law is binding upon Christians today? Well, can't go into all the issues surrounding God's law, but all these laws find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So ultimately, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. But because of Christ, now we're free to live under the grace of the new covenant. And that includes the gift of Sabbath. Not as something we have to do, but as something that God allows us to do for our good, for our rest, and for our refreshment. And if Sunday is the best day for you to take a day of rest, then praise God, do that. Maybe right now, you just need to declare today is a day of rest. Sorry. I'm not doing it today. Today is my day of rest. Make it happen. Declare it over your home. Come on. Or if your schedule allows for another day, say a Tuesday. That's an unusual schedule. Or a Saturday. That's okay too. Sometimes it depends on our work schedule, doesn't it? For example, I work on Sundays. Right? I preach and I teach and I enjoy doing so, but Sunday is not my Sabbath day. I take another day during the week for that, which is typically Saturday for me. That's my day of rest. But I want you to notice, according to the fourth commandment, that a day of rest here isn't just for the grown-ups, but it's for the kids too. A day of rest is for our families. We all need a day of rest. And so whatever that looks like for you, a day of rest is God's gift for you. It's his gift for your family. So take advantage of it. Take that gift. Take a day of rest. Because God made us for work, and God made us for rest. We're created for three things. Number one, the blessing of family. Number two, the blessing of work and rest. Three, the blessing of a relationship with God. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines blessed as having a sacred nature connected with God. Isn't that interesting? In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and they were blessed because they had a special relationship with God. Genesis 1:28 ties these two ideas together. It says God blessed them and said. God blessed them and said. This means that Adam and Eve heard God's voice. They were in communication with God. They were walking with God and talking with God. They knew God intimately. There was an unfettered relationship with God. And you and I are made for a relationship with God. He is the one who created us. And by coming into that relationship, you and I experience true blessing. We feel happy and content in life, like this is what we are made for. Does that mean that there's nothing in life that's hard? No. What's the opposite of blessing? It's curse. And in Genesis chapter 3, we read how Adam and Eve disobey God. They sin, and sin separates us from God. It brings what the Bible calls into our lives the curse, where work is hard. It is difficult. Families are broken. Our plans don't always work out like we hope that they will. But God loved us so much that he sent a Savior named Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He is the King. He is the ruler of all of creation. He loves us so much. And the greatest blessings in our life are not things like the car we drive or the food we eat. The greatest blessing in our life is Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can begin a brand new relationship with God. And it just starts by turning to him, not by working and earning, but by believing and receiving. Believing and receiving Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins, which reconnects us to that life-giving relationship with God. And the story ends, by the way, with an eternal life in God, in a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation, where Revelation 22:3 tells us, no longer will there be any curse. See, God made us to bless us. We experience so many of his blessings now, today, already. We've seen some of those. Just think about your life. We talk about counting our blessings. Yeah, I like that slide. That's perfect. We're created for the blessing of family, the blessing of work and rest, the blessing of a relationship with God. So just think about your life right now. We're blessed in so many ways. And have you ever had a moment where you asked yourself, how did I get all this? How did I get these opportunities? How did I get this spouse? How did I get to be a dad? How did I get to be a mom? How did I get this home that I live in? How do I get these friends, these opportunities? And wouldn't it be great just to return thanks to the one who made it all possible? Wouldn't it be incredible just to thank the one who brought all these blessings into our life, the one who gave it all for every one of us, to personally thank Jesus, thank him for the cross, thank him for the blood that was shed. See, this is the first step towards praise, and this is the first step to the beginning of a relationship with God. Blessed means connected to God. It's all connected to him, all of the blessings in our life. And so, one, we are blessed, and we are created. God created us to bless us, but number two, he also created us to respond to his blessings. And this is my second and last point. Worship is our response to the blessings of God. We don't take all the blessings we've received for granted, but we return it in praise. We return it in thanks. So let's run through those three main categories of blessings in our lives really quickly, take a closer look, and see how in each one, worship is our response to God's blessing. First, worship is our response to the blessing of a relationship with God. Now, in order to fully comprehend this wonderful idea, I need to understand that Eden was not just a pretty garden, but it was a special place in God's created order where God was uniquely present. Theologian Gregory Beale calls it a garden temple. This is where God dwelt uniquely, and he points out a lot of the connections between the Garden of Eden and the later temple. Well, things like all the garden imagery in the temple, or you have this tree-like lampstand, like the tree of life. There's gold and precious jewels like we see in Eden. It's the very dwelling place of God. See, the entire context of Adam and Eve's existence was set up for worship. And if you understand that, it actually starts to change your perspective on worship. It changes our idea of what it means to be a worshiper of God. See, worship isn't just this song that we sing on Sunday. Worship isn't just attending a service on Sunday morning. All of our life is meant to be worship. Isn't that cool? By God's design. Worship is a lifestyle. So what does that mean? It means throughout the week we're growing in awareness of God. We're making God the focus and center of every day. We're doing whatever we do with God and for God and for God's glory. I love this paraphrase of Romans 12:1 in the Message. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So if you have a relationship with God, offer your life to God. Turn your life into worship. Let your life be a song of praise to God. Are you blessed with a relationship with God? And we apply it to our lives in worship. Number two, worship is also our response to the blessing of work and rest. Put up Genesis 2:15 again. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. Now, interestingly, Moses uses the same two Hebrew words, work and take care, throughout the Pentateuch to describe the job of the Levites at the tabernacle. For example, in Numbers 3:7, the Levites are told to perform their duties at the tent of meeting by doing the work of the tabernacle and taking care of all the furnishings. You guys notice the exact same words being used, not just in a work context, but in a worship context. And what Genesis is doing is intentionally connecting our work with our worship. So God creates us to worship Him, and then He blesses us with work. And one way we worship God is through the work that we do. So whether you're a doctor, or whether you're a student, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an engineer, whether you're an artist, whether you're a student going to school, whatever, your work is an opportunity to be an act of worship to the Lord. How? Well, Colossians 3:23 to 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. We worship God in our work by doing what we do for the Lord and giving our best. Excellence honors God. Serving other people around us, at our workplace, at our school, letting the light of Jesus shine. So remember that any task, no matter how big, no matter how small, is an opportunity to honor God and to glorify the Lord. It's our work. What about our rest? So we talked about how God didn't create us to work 7 days a week, but God created us to work 6 days and to rest on one day. In the Ten Commandments, God actually commands a day of doing nothing. Okay, let's just stop there. How awesome is God? This is our God. Hey, stop working. One day. That's the goodness of our God. He's not the slave driver, right? They came out from Egypt where they were working 24/7. God says, all right, here's my commandment. Take a day of rest. So what does a weekly Sabbath day look like? Two words, rest and worship. We're going to rest. We're going to get some things done that we need to ahead of time. Maybe it's the yard work or the housework or the schoolwork or the shopping, whatever it is. And we're going to rest. We're going to do some things we love. Hey, I'm going to go play some golf. I'm going to play some tennis. We're going to have an adventure as a family. I'm going to read a book, whatever that is. We're going to rest. But a Sabbath day is not just a day for entertainment. It's called a holy day, a day dedicated to the Lord, for the assembling of God's people to hear his word and to come together corporately to worship God. Leviticus 23:3 says, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly." And that's what we're doing right now, right? You've come to a sacred assembly, and I'm so glad that you did. What do we do with the blessings of work and rest? Turn it into worship. Last one, worship is also our response to the blessing of family. Now, when God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, his desire was that the whole world would be full of worshipers. Psalm 113:3, "From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised." Guys, this is where our world is heading, to a place of worldwide worship. And we can participate in God's plan of multiplying worshipers all across this planet by, one, telling others about Jesus, right? Sharing the good news of what Christ has done for you. But the other way that we multiply worshipers around this world is by raising godly children and building godly homes. I just want you to know we have some parents here today. As a parent, you probably don't hear this enough, but we as parents are the single greatest influence in the life of our children. Did you know that? Right? No one shapes your child's faith more than you. Not the church, not a youth pastor, not your kids' friends at school. It's you and me living out our faith. The second greatest influence in the life of a child, grandparents. Right? We have a role to play in the lives of our children. God's blessed us with children. So how can you and I, think creatively, make our home a place of worship? Maybe we're praying together. We're talking about God. Going to make sure that my kids are and my family are going to church. We're going to be a part of a small group as a family. We're going to read the Bible together, whatever it is. Have you been blessed with a family? Then cultivate worship in your home. Worship starts at home. As we are hashtag blessed, I should take a picture of us right now. Hashtag blessed, right? We're blessed. So blessed, every one of us. What's our response to the goodness of God and his blessing in our life? Help me out. What's our response? Worship, good. We're made to worship. Is worship just a song we sing? No. Whether it's going to work, home life, family life, raising children, going to school, our education, any part of our existence is an opportunity to honor God, to praise God, and to glorify him. We're going to close our service right now doing just that. Let's pray. God, we thank you, we honor you, and we say thanks for all the blessings in our life. Thank you, God, for our homes, our families. Thank you for providing for us when we've needed it. Thank you for healings, God, all the blessings that you give to us. And we're reminded today just to return those back to you, to return thanks, to honor you because of who you are and how good you are. I pray as we go through this week, God, that you'll remind us it's all for you. It's all worship. And let us live with just passion and love for you, sharing the good news with those around us. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.